Welcome to Nightlife, a bite-size episode.
What happens when a relationship breaks down involving people from different countries and children are involved? The short answer is that there's often a huge mess created in which no one wins, least of all the children. There's a case in the news at the moment involving the Australian actor Melissa George, who's been living in France with her estranged husband and their two sons. She wants to bring them back to Australia for a month to visit relatives, but can't leave without written permission from their father, which he won't give. The world of international child custody battles is a difficult one, and Australians feature surprisingly frequently in these cases. Terence Trainor is a lawyer with lots of experience in these cases, and he's special counsel at Barry Nilsson Lawyers in Brisbane and joins us this evening. Hi, Terence, and welcome to Nightlife.
Thank you so much. Pleasure to be here.
Lots of these stories are flying around, some of them under the radar. Australians are often well represented in these stories. Why do you think that is?
I think because Australia is such a melting pot of different cultures and, you know, as you've mentioned, it is something that comes up more often than you think. And not every case, there can be various aspects to how subtle, you know, whether it's just for a holiday, whether it's for a permanent relocation, or even just a relocation within the country. But I think the statistics show that in last year, in terms of Hague Convention applications, there was 137. So it is fairly common.
If your kids get taken by the other parent to a different country, what are your chances of seeing them again if the other parent doesn't want you to?
Well, it's difficult to say. I mean, you have a much better chance if they go to a Hague Convention country. Australia is a signatory to that convention. And if they are, there is a central authority which acts to try and liaise with the central authority in that country in order to return the children. It does, if there are defences filed, then it does mean a lengthy process and can take up to 2 years.
Really? Wow. Tell me about the Hague Convention. What's that and what does it allow?
So it allows for, in very simple terms, allows for the return of children as quickly as possible to the country for which they were habitually resident.
Right.
And for the courts at that stage to determine whether it's right or wrong or appropriate for the children to move countries.
All right, but there has to be a court hearing, and you say that can take 2 years.
That's right. It can take, I mean, there's a number of processes where people have to file their evidence, and there are a number of defences that, you know, if it's after 12 months, then that acts as a defence for, you know, you can't allow matters to delay. You need to go as quickly as possible. With older children, there is a defence talk, you know, if their wishes and feelings. There was a High Court matter just very recently where older children, 15 and 17, wanted to stay in New York with their father, and they had strong wishes. The court indicated that whilst wishes are important, it depends on the maturity of the children, and but it's not the overriding factor.
Yeah, I mean, the trouble is the law's interminable delay, of course, is unacceptable for many parents. I would imagine if the children are young, 2 years in a children's life is huge, isn't it?
It is huge, and, you know, advice, you know, from lawyers and from a practical point of view is you've got to keep the lines of communication open, you know, whether it's, you know, a 5-minute telephone call, a Skype call, emails, so that they know that the other parent is thinking of them.
Yeah, okay. If your kids are taken to a country that's not a signatory to the Hague Convention, have you got many options?
It is much more difficult. You have to look at the laws in that particular country and how they are applied. You know, it can be quite difficult, and people often find themselves having to understand a different law system that they don't know about, having to obtain lawyers who they can't speak in their native language. It is particularly difficult and not ideal.
And phenomenally expensive, I presume, too.
Yes, can be.
Yeah. So, in other words, if this happened, if your children are taken to a country which is not a signatory to the Hague Convention, in practice, most people don't have access to large amounts of money to pay lawyers in foreign countries or ability to brief lawyers, etc. In practice, you've lost the kids, have you?
I don't see that. There are sometimes legal aid or public funding for these kinds of applications. People are sometimes put in a very difficult position where they need to try and represent themselves, or people normally will look to family members to assist, but it does put great stress on the family.
What can you do to prevent it? I mean, can you put a stop action on children's passports, for example? I mean, can you agree to a child's passport being issued only on condition that you're consulted if they ever want to leave the country?
So, I mean, to start off with, you technically need the other parent's consent to take the children out of the jurisdiction.
Hmm.
You need to understand the risks. You know, often people, you will know that they have a cultural background. How strong is that cultural background? What links do they have? You know, is suddenly there's money being transferred abroad? Is there anything that's causing you concern that you need to be worried about? If there are passports that have been issued, then, of course, the whereabouts of those passports is essential. Understanding whether passports can be issued in another jurisdiction, what citizenship do the children have? If you're unsure, then, you know, you should contact the embassies of the relevant country, speak to, you know, the Australian embassy if you're abroad, to just really understand what rights or what risks you have of the child actually being able to leave the country.
It is. I mean, I know the Sally Faulkner case got a lot of publicity. This is the Australian woman who engaged, with the help of the 60 Minutes program, engaged a private kidnapper to kidnap her kids. Well, it was unsuccessful, as we famously know. But are there ever situations where that might be an option? I mean, after all, if that had been successful and the kids had come back to Australia, would she be on safe legal ground here?
Well, it's not something we as lawyers would sort of promote.
But in a legal sense.
Well, I think it would create difficulties. I mean, it depends on the links to that country. I mean, certainly if there were orders in that country, she may never be able to go back to that country. There may be warrants for her arrest in that country. If she has family over there, it creates a lot of difficulty. It's certainly not an ideal to have an international tug of war with your child by way of having people going to try and arrange for them to be abducted from that particular country.
Mm. No, but I understand that. But I mean, but if the abduction was successful, and once the children are back here in Australia,
well, of course,
you're safe. You're presumably safe from. You're on safe legal ground, aren't you?
Well, of course, it's always up to the other parent to bring an application in this jurisdiction.
Mm.
And in those circumstances, the person's conduct may very well be taken into account.
Yeah, okay. Well, in an instance where you have custody of the children and the other partner's taken them away, you regain custody, you'd imagine the court here would look kindly upon your situation, which is, after all, was an order of the court in the first place.
Well, I mean, if the situation is where there is an order in the Sally Faulkner case where she had an order saying the children should reside with her in this country, and then the father unlawfully removed them, and there was a return of that child, well, then it will obviously be difficult for the father to make an application back in this jurisdiction asking for the children to be returned abroad.
Mm. I mean, obviously keeping lines of communication open with your partner is the most important thing. But unfortunately, as we know, in these human cases, that's often not the case. I mean, in the Melissa George case, for example, it probably means that she's effectively stuck in France if she ever wants access to her children, doesn't it?
Well, I'm not familiar with the actual applications or whether actual applications have been made in that country. Of course, countries have an ability to seek an order allowing that parent and the children to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And different countries look at it in different ways, but the best interest principle is something that's paramount. The courts, particularly in England and in Hong Kong, the impact of actually having one parent stuck in a jurisdiction, which they're going to be very unhappy about, is something the court needs to take into account.
Hmm. But, I mean, I can't imagine that foreign courts are all that accommodating, are they, about parents lobbying in from other countries and saying, well, I'd like to take them out away again?
Well,
I mean, our courts would probably be the same here in this country.
No, well, that's not quite right. The courts in this country need to look at the best interests of the children.
Mm.
And if that means, for instance, a a mother and a father who effectively moved here from, say, the UK, habitually resident here. The father is staying in this country, and then the mother decides, well, they're separated, she wants to return to the UK. Well, then, of course, there are a lot of ties. The court needs to look at the best interest principles, look at, who else is in Australia, what support is here. You know, they need to weigh up many factors to decide what is in the best interest of the children, because at the end of the day, what's right for the children needs to take priority.
Mm. All right. If you are a parent in a situation, or you're a relative or friend in a situation where you're worried about what might happen, what steps are there that you could take?
Well, I think the first thing is to go speak to a solicitor. They'll be able to give you advice as to whether you may need to apply to the court. And you touched on this earlier about, can you put flags on children's passports? You can, with a court application, apply for what's called a family law watch list, so that the children's passports will be flagged.
Can you do that unilaterally?
You can. On the filing of an application in this country, if you're seeking an order, it can be sent to the Australian Federal Police and they will put it on the watch list. Of course, having it stayed on there, you need a further order of the court doing so.
But can you do that unilaterally? I mean, without alerting your partner, for example?
You need to make the application upon which you need to serve them, so you can't do it unilaterally without them ultimately knowing that's the case.
Mm. Because that's really the issue, isn't it? Once you've done that, you're likely to inflame the situation rather than improve it.
Well, that's right. And you need to decide whether it's a serious risk of the children being taken abroad without your consent. Of course, by making that type of application, we'll put huge strain on the marriage and relationship. And it's not something to be entered into lightly.
No, I wouldn't have thought so.
And the court would also need to see some evidence that the children, you know, on what basis are you saying that the children are likely or may be abducted?
Mm. Well, it's probably quite difficult to produce such evidence other than your gut feeling, isn't it?
That's right. But, I mean, often comments are said, throwaway comments, which have maybe implied threats. As I said, if the marriage or relationship is in difficulty and they are looking to say, look, you know, we may go back, or you have a feeling, then of course you need to follow that gut instinct as to whether you may need to take further action.
All right. Terence Trainor, thank you for your time.
It's been lovely speaking with you. Thanks so much.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.